so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the Seas, that's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing, hopefully you're enjoying a day off and you're able to put a loss to the Brooklyn Nets behind you. But however you're listening to the show, whatever you're doing, if you're watching on YouTube, I want to thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. I am John Corrales. I'm here at the TD Garden. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the ice once again going down behind me as the Celtics and Bruins alternate home games. And you can probably hear the Bull Gang putting the ice, picking up the floor and revealing the ice. The Celtics lose 141-126 in game five. And the Celtics season is pretty much done. This episode, by the way, is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app. Join me this week, Friday afternoon. I don't think I'm going to be conflicting with any sort of Celtics events, but who knows? Maybe exit interviews? But check me out Friday afternoon on Locker Room. Get into the action on Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. So the Celtics lost this one, 141-126. They had, they came out, I think, strong. And then the second quarter happened, and the Celtics just kind of wilted necessarily. They just couldn't hang. Let's start with this. No Kemba, knee issues. That's going to be something that I'm going to talk about later. I'll save that conversation for tomorrow because I want to dive more into what that means and where this goes with Kemba Walker. No Robert Williams, that left foot, sprained ankle, turf toe, all of that stuff. No Robert Williams, obviously no Jaylen Brown. So three of your best players, three starters, one all-star, one former all-star, a guy who had been playing well at the end of the season, and guys were saying, hey, we're expecting him to play, to have that full kind of comeback type of thing. None of that was available. So it was basically Jason Tatum, Evan Fournier, Marcus Smart. And when those are your three best players, that's going to be a problem. I mean, we love Marcus Smart, but like he can't do too much. You're not asking him to do too much offensively. He's supposed to be the guy that hits open shots and defends, obviously. Evan Fournier, not really up to speed. I don't know what he's going to ultimately become for the Boston Celtics if he re-signs. But still trying to do too much, didn't come through in this game. So basically it was Jason Tatum. And early on in the game, the Celtics were, they came out strong and probably should have expected that. This place was packed. This place was full of people. It was for the first time, like we were looking around, all of us guys in the press section, we're like, wow, it's about time that we got to see this. Now, obviously, for obvious reasons, we didn't get to see this until now. Luckily, we're in a position now, hopefully, where this holds and we can continue to live our normal lives. It's been kind of fun to be out and living my normal life. I'm vaccinated. I am enjoying some of the benefits of being so and enjoying going out and seeing crowds of people, like just living my normal life again. And hopefully that can continue. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the Celtics are going to continue doing that here in Boston, but at least for this first quarter, we saw the Celtics coming together. It was Tatum with threes. It was Smart with threes. Romeo Langford had a follow dunk. The place was pretty nuts. The place was really like they definitely got a boost from this the crowd. Then they rolled out Tatum, Pritchard, Ojeleye, Jabari Parker, and Grant Williams. And that was okay for a short time. And then in the second quarter, this is where things turned. Fournier, Ojeleye, Pritchard, Grant Williams, and Romeo Langford. And if we're going to second guess Brad Stevens, you can say, well, why would you roll that lineup out? And he said after the game, you make adjustments and you hope that they work. And this one kind of was, maybe it was a little too much. I think maybe Brad Stevens tried to outsmart himself a little bit, but I don't know. I don't know if he brought Tatum out early in the game and Marcus Smart got his second foul and put Tatum right back in. And I just don't think he felt like he could play Tatum 48 minutes. What did Tatum end up playing? That's the one thing I didn't see as far as how many minutes Tatum ended up playing here. It was a lot, but then he came out in the fourth quarter at the end there, 40 minutes, and then he missed, well, 40 minutes. If this game was closer, he would have played closer to 45. So, but Tatum got like virtually no rest in the first quarter. Brad Stevens tried to roll without him for a little bit there in the second quarter, and it cost them. The Nets got separation, and then that was it. Kyrie Irving was really good. Kyrie Irving did what a star player should do, and when you're getting booed and all of that, and the crowd's really on your ass, you shut them up. That's how many times have I talked about how my favorite thing to do when I was playing was shut up a road crowd. There's no greater feeling than shutting up a road crowd. And Kyrie, I'm sure, was very eager to shut up a road crowd. Now, in segment three, I will talk about what happened at the end. I'm very pissed off about what happened at the end at that fan, that asshole who threw the water bottle, because it ruined basically everything. But I'm going to talk about that in segment three. For now, sticking to basketball, Kyrie came out and was really good. Now, he got to the line a ton. He got to the line a lot early. He was 11 of 11 from the free throw line. He was 7 of 7 in the first half. And he hit half his threes. He took 12 threes and he hit 6. He finished with 39 points. And once he got going, especially once he got going from the free throw line, because he was missing early. And this was it felt like a classic example of get to the line, see the ball fall, realize that the guys that were guarding him, they weren't going to be contesting him very strongly. And he turned that into a great shooting night. A great shooting night. It looked like at the beginning it was going to be a poor shooting night. And it might have been another night where we were like, whoa, Kyrie not really coming up with, you know, in the face of a very angry crowd. But that turned around quickly. And if we want the story of the game, the real story of the game is the Nets had Kyrie and Kevin Durant combined for, what was it, 91? In fact, you had 42 from Durant, so, and then 39 from Kyrie. So, no, it was 81. And then James Harden with 23, so 104 points from three guys. 104 points from three guys. And, oh, by the way, 18 assists from James Harden, which is a ridiculous number. 11 rebounds for Kyrie Irving. Celtics, like I said, shorthanded. Once Brooklyn got that separation, it was over. The Celtics, and they never really had a chance in this game. Like that early hit that they hit Brooklyn with was crowd fueled. They were amped. Jason Tatum hit a corner three, and then he turned. He had this huge smile on his face. He turned to the crowd, and he had a huge smile as he was running back, and it felt like for a moment, I was like, wow, the Celtics might ride this crowd to a win. Like very early on, I just looked around and I said, Smart is smoking. He's hitting everything. Romeo's coming in. He's defending. He had that foul dunk. Tatum's smiling. He was in his bag early. And I thought maybe there's an opportunity here for the Celtics to have to ride this crowd and win this game. That was short-lived. The Celtics outclassed. When you're rolling out Grant and Shemmy and all those guys, like individually, like all of these guys that the Celtics rolled out there on a full team, like they could be, they could fill a role here and there. Grant Williams off the bench as the eighth or ninth guy on a good team can fill that small ball five role. I still believe that Semi Ojeleye can go out there and on a good team, like the Lakers should sign Semi Ojeleye. I bet Semi Ojeleye would go to the Lakers and actually be good for them. He'll play a role, a consistent role, something that they need, and on a good team, he could be good. Like, that could be a good, cheap signing for them. I believe in a lot of these guys and their ability, but when you're putting them out there on this floor with, you know, against Durant and Kyrie and James Harden, that's too much. Those three guys, of course they outgunned, overpowered the Celtics. Up next, Celtics pride. Now, we make a lot about Celtics pride, and I don't want to overstate it, but the Celtics did show something on the floor that I'm going to talk about in this second segment. And then later on, the Kyrie stuff that I talked about. If you're the hiring expert for your company, what you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who's going to make your life easier. You need Indeed. It is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews on your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy with tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately, and Indeed skill tests that on average reduces hiring by 27%, reduces hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests and then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for the applications that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. So if you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post on Indeed.com/locked. That's $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. This offer is valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. And if you've never had a Built Bar, I love them. I have one after I go to the gym. I have one. Sometimes I'll have one for breakfast if I'm on the go. Just grab it and go. And hey, grab a coffee, have a Built Bar. That's pretty good. It's going to get you going. Why? Because it's not very high in calories. You're generally going to get something between 130 to 180 calories in that bar, which is great. And you're also going to get somewhere around 17, 18 grams of protein, which is perfect. Especially, like I said, after a workout, if you've done some lifting, you want to get some protein into your body to help build those muscles. This is great because it's not going to go too crazy and fill you up. It's not going to take you forever to eat and need a gallon of water to wash down. It's very delicious. It's like eating a candy bar, basically, but healthy with only 5 grams of sugar, 5 net carbs, or somewhere in that range for all of these great flavors. Do you have a nut allergy? No problem. You can have a Built Bar because they have them without nuts. Are you on a keto diet? No problem. You can have a Built Bar because they fit into the keto diet. No matter what it is, whether you're trying to lose weight, maintain your weight, whatever, you can have a Built Bar. Go check it out at BuiltBar.com. They've got a ton of special flavors. They've got a ton of other products. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. So the Bull Gang is behind me still working as they hold up the parquet, which if you don't know how this works, there's the ice, there's a layer of this wood that they put down, and there's the parquet floor. So the Celtics are always playing on top of the ice when they're out there. So the Bull Gang packs up that floor. I'm pretty sure that they can put that thing into deep storage now because it's hard to believe that the Brooklyn Nets are going to go back to Brooklyn and want to come back to Boston. Like, they're just going to say, let's just finish this up, get ready for Milwaukee, and that's it. And if that's how it goes, then I can say that I feel better about this team now, having seen them go through this series, because the stuff that I was looking for coming in, and I understand that this is not where fans wanted them to be, but what I wanted them to show, having gone through this whole season, having experienced what they experienced, and knowing how disappointing this season was and how it was a lost season, coming into this series, what did I say? If you've listened to this podcast before, I said, I want to see some fight. I want to see some pride. I want to see them show us that this season, the circumstances of this season, were so crushing, so overwhelming, that they couldn't come through. And I think you've seen, like, Michael Malone, Denver Nuggets head coach, talked about the bubble hangover. And that was it was on ESPN. It was on the Hoop Collective podcast. They talked about this. And you look at Denver and Miami and the Lakers and the Celtics and those four teams, look at how they've struggled. The Lakers looked great to start because they had LeBron, and then all of a sudden the injuries hit and they faded and they lost to the Phoenix Suns. Now that series is still going on, obviously, but you know, with Anthony Davis getting hurt again, if the Lakers lose in the first round, Miami got swept, the Celtics will be a gentleman's sweep. Denver is trying to fight and hold on. Who knows how they're going to go, but they're hurt. They've lost. I mean, they're starting Facundo Campazzo and Rivers. Like, those four teams are, it's not a shock. It's really not a shock. And it shows that the circumstances of this season were really tough. And I know we've spent a lot of time, and I've spent a lot of time talking about this stuff, and people say, no excuses. But you know what? I think we're starting to see that, yeah, there are reasons for what happened. All of the COVID, all of the injuries, all of that stuff. It's not a surprise that these teams that played that deep into the bubble were impacted. It's not a surprise. And so watching this team out here in this game, they didn't quit. The fans didn't quit. This was a good crowd. This wasn't a crowd that came in with any sort of anticipation. I think everybody in this crowd, for the most part, minus a select few, were understanding of what was happening. They knew that they were coming in here, yeah, to root this team on and cheer for this team and try to make this a great environment and hopefully come away with a win. But I think they also knew that this was almost like, we're here to say goodbye. And they hung around with this team. The Celtics got down big in the second quarter. They got down bigger in the third quarter. The crowd got silent, but it didn't turn on the Celtics. They never turned on the Celtics. And that was important, I think. That was an important element to this game, because it's not like the Celtics quit. I think they saw this team out there fighting and trying and looking at the floor and going like, well, if you're going to play Jabari Parker and Grant Williams next to each other, or Semi Ojeleye, if this is all we've got, then how can we be upset? And the Celtics came out and they fought. No matter how down it looked, they kept on fighting. They kept on clawing and scratching. And I really do feel that coming out of this series, I feel like it's a shame that they didn't have Jaylen Brown. It's a shame that Kemba's knee fell apart again and he got that bone bruise. I'll talk about that more tomorrow, because that needs an entire conversation. I don't want to just gloss over it. I'm going to talk about that, because that's a whole different conversation. But it's a shame that they didn't have Robert Williams. And maybe they wouldn't have beaten the Brooklyn Nets if they weren't full strength. But also, if they had all of this and these guys were healthy from the beginning and there was no COVID and we didn't lose Robert Williams and Jason Tatum and Romeo Langford as soon as he was coming back from his wrist surgery, and Tristan Thompson, and I forget who else had it at this point, Evan Fournier. If the Celtics had just had a normal season with these guys being healthy, they wouldn't have played the Brooklyn Nets in the first round. I don't think they would have been the seventh seed. I think they would have been higher. They probably would have been that fourth seed that we expected them to be. I really do think that. Having seen the fight and how Tatum can play and how these guys are really turning it on as best they can, I think that there's that fight that they've shown in this series, the fight that they showed in this game. Like, I think that was real. And Brad Stevens and Marcus Smart, like, Marcus Smart's the first guy to be like, we didn't put in the right effort. And after the game, he was like, hey, look, I'm proud of these guys. We fought hard. If Marcus Smart is sitting there saying, I'm proud of this effort, then I think there's something to that. It doesn't mean that we excuse away this season because there are serious questions. And there's a whole offseason that I'm going to be podcasting about that looks at the serious questions that were raised from this season. There's no doubt about that. Everybody has some blame in this, okay? But there is also a lot here that was unavoidable, and I think had that been avoidable, and if the Celtics had some sense of normalcy and they weren't one of those bubble teams that all of them seemed to be affected, I think it would have been a different season. And all I was looking for was what I thought to be some proof of that, and I think we're getting some proof of that. All of this playoff talk is part of our road to the finals. Our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Up next, that jerk, the whole thing with Kyrie and all of that, I'm going to talk about it next. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You can get baseball season once basketball season is over. If you're done with the NBA after the Celtics are done, you can go to baseball, bet on the Red Sox or whatever. Hockey, the Bruins are playing on Monday night, so bet on the Bruins game if you want. That was a great game one win for the Bruins. Pastrnak with the hat trick. That was awesome. You could have bet on whether he would have gotten a hat trick or not. It's all on betonline.ag. So before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline. Use your laptop or mobile device. Check out sports news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. You can use the promo code LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON gets you a 50% welcome bonus when you sign up at BetOnline. So whatever it is that you deposit, you get 50% of that as an added welcome bonus when you use that promo code LOCKEDON. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as the teams make their runs through the playoffs. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I am beyond pissed at this fan, quote unquote fan, this asshole who threw a water bottle at Kyrie Irving. First of all, no place for that. No place for that. And I don't care about anything that Kyrie Irving did, said, anything. No place for that. Throwing anything at a player. That water bottle, even if it's half full, even if the cap's off, that thing can hit somebody. If it hits them wrong, that could do some real damage. So you're putting people at risk. Not just Kyrie. There are fans there. There are kids there. So, number one, just get this right out there. That asshole who threw the water bottle, I hope we never see him in this place again. He should be banned from this building. No Bruins, no Celtics, no nothing. Goodbye. The Red Sox should find out who he is and ban him from there too. There's no place for that. And I'm especially pissed that he ruined what was it was actually going to be a nice weekend of basketball. You had Tatum's 50-point game. You had stealing game three. You had the Celtics against all odds with a full house coming out strong and putting up that fight that I just talked about in the second segment. Kyrie getting booed lustily, and hey, you got him. You got the best of him in game one, in game three, and then he got the best of you in game four. So be it. Tip your cap. You can hate him all you want, sports villain all you want. He was 5 seconds away from walking out that tunnel and us having just a fun, like, hey, one bad game from Kyrie, one good game from Kyrie. Everything was kept above board. No need to dwell on this stuff. There were serious things that were brought up by Kyrie. And as I've said before, as I've written before, you can find in the past podcast last week on Boston Sports Journal, all of that, I talk about how important the discussion is. Not necessarily that Kyrie, the specific things that he said about Boston, the greater conversation about how black athletes are treated and how it's important for us to listen when black athletes are telling us how they feel out there. It's an important discussion to have, okay? But Kyrie coming through and basically making it out of Boston with nothing more than booze and, sure, vulgar chants, but still nothing more than, you know, dropping an F-bomb on Kyrie. Like, that's, people tell me that all the time. So that asshole who threw the water bottle took all of that away, and instead of having the right conversation about what he was bringing up and what Marcus Smart was talking about and that all of that stuff that I've talked about already, instead of having that conversation, now the conversation is, see, Kyrie had a point. That one asshole, now Boston is back in the crosshairs because of that guy. And that's just mind-blowing, because he's not the only one who wanted to do it. And I'm sure there are plenty of assholes who are in this place, that there's always going to be the quote-unquote bad seed. That's going to happen in every building everywhere. We just had it in multiple buildings. This has been a horrible week when it comes to the treatment of athletes by sports fans. This has been a disgusting week. People do not know how to act. They've come out of quarantine, and they're back in public, and no one knows how to act anymore. By doing what he did, this guy now... Hey, look, see, Kyrie, you know, you can say what you say about Kyrie, but he had a point. He had a point. That's what people are going to say now. That guy, we were this close to talking about basketball. Nothing but basketball out of this weekend. We're going to keep it hoop. And this guy ruined it all. And then you have, and prior to that, I should say, because it happened during the game, and I didn't see it happen live. I missed it. I saw the video floating around afterwards. Kyrie stepping on the logo out there was so, like, I get it. You know, everybody's booing Kyrie, you know, chanting profane chants and all of that stuff. And he responds by dropping 40 on you, and he stomps on your logo. But one thing I don't get about Kyrie and the whole thing with him in Boston is I didn't realize that he hated Boston so damn much. Like, he came out before that final season in Boston and said he wanted to come back. Everything was fine. And then that season went down the toilet, and he left. It's like, okay, well, people are going to say they hate Kyrie now because he's a sports villain. That's what happens when you leave. Gordon Hayward left Utah, and they oh my God, like, they hate him in Utah now. So you leave your team, you become a sports villain. I didn't realize that he has just developed what seems to be a hatred, just an outright hatred. Like, he didn't do, who was it that did the, there's, you know, some football players, you go out and you, was it Randy Moss that celebrated on the Cowboys logo? Was it him? Something, no, maybe it was somebody else. Whoever it was, Terrell Owens, maybe? One of those, you know, brash wide receivers celebrating on the logo. This wasn't quite that. This had anger, I thought, behind it. I think he, like, stepped on the logo, the leprechaun's face, and, like, wiped, like he was wiping his feet on a welcome mat or something. Like, There was disdain behind that. That wasn't just, hey, I'm going to watch me celebrate on your logo type of thing, which is just, to me, it would have been gamesmanship. Everybody's dropping F-bombs on Kyrie, and he celebrates on the logo like, hey, he's dropping 40 on you. You know, he kind of earned that right. This was like, there's anger. There's like deep-seated anger there. And I'm confused as all hell about it. Like, you wanted to go to Brooklyn. You wanted to play with KD. Things went south in Boston. I didn't realize there was animus behind it. It's just wild. I think this whole Kyrie thing is just, it's gotten absurd. Like, we've crossed into the absurd with Kyrie. And I'm actually one of the, I don't hate Kyrie. I'm like well past that. Like, I'm sports villains. Like, I'm not even in that mode anymore. But I think the whole Kyrie thing's overblown. Okay, he left. It sucks. Like, he left. People have been dying for a long time to get this out of their systems. Okay, fine. You want to boom and all that stuff. I hope they got it out of their systems. But this does nothing. Like, the Kyrie logo stomp, that just fuels things. That just fans the flames. He said after the game, I hope we get over it. No one's moving past this. He says, I just want to move past it. No one's moving past that after seeing what you did. After that video is going to circulate. Things are getting worse. You just poured gasoline on the fire. So, I don't know, man. The whole Kyrie thing, it sucks. I'm so pissed that we even have to talk about this in a podcast. But it's like now the dominating thing. The basketball game, which would have been just like a fun kind of like, hey, farewell, happy trails, Boston Celtics. You showed us a little pride at the end of the season. We're going to break it down. Like, that would have been a nice send-off. No. We get this. I'll talk more about this as I watch. We're almost at full ice behind me. So, hey, check out Locked On Bruins, by the way. Locked On Red Sox, Locked On Patriots, Locked On for all of the Boston sports. So if you're from Boston, you like all the Boston sports, you can check them out. There's a Locked On for your favorite team. If you're just one of those people who likes other teams from other cities but also likes the Celtics, there's a Locked On for your favorite team too. Check it out. There's the Locked On Today podcast. Locked On Today is going to get you up to date on all the big sports news in about 20 minutes or so. That's a great add to your rotation. So do that. Subscribe to this podcast. Again, I'm going to be talking about Kemba and that knee tomorrow especially. There's a lot to unpack there. And then, of course, there's a Game 5, which I don't know what we can talk about with Game 5, but I'll figure something else out. So subscribe here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. It's on YouTube. I'm here with a camera and lights and set up here at the Garden. This is probably, I'm going to guess, my last podcast at the Garden this season, which is a bit of a shame. We finally got some normalcy and now it's going away. But I appreciate you guys watching. I appreciate you listening. And I appreciate you sharing the podcast and telling everyone that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.